Blog Talk Radio. 50 and Leno. This last way, we as many of the things that are 13 of that we don't throw to you. Whatever you want. When you need me, I'm going to be there. But just don't leave. I'm whatever you want. Whatever you need. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like that. To me, that's a gospel song.
All right. We're going to learn today. Shalom and good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Rashab. I'm one of the teachers with the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. We have school locations in San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas, Norfolk, Virginia, and Rochester, New York, as far as just the ISBHPK goes. But we are definitely part of the Hebrew Israelites going all the way back to King David, going all the way back to Moses, coming out of Egypt with the Passover and Exodus, that we are the descendants of those actual people. So this is not, I don't want to say this is a Hebrew Israelite movement. I don't want to say it's a Hebrew Israelite fad. How can it be a fad or a movement when it's a genealogy, when it's a bloodline? And again, contrary to what we've been taught about the Bible since the arrival of so-called white people here in the Americas in 1492 with Christopher Columbus and the Spaniards and the Jesuits bringing their lies and their doctrines, philosophies, and their murder machine, their genocide machine to 1619 when the slave ships started coming from Africa. All right, not the slave ships that Columbus took slaves or so-called Native Americans from here and into slavery across over to Europe, where a lot of Gadites, a lot of Issacharites, a lot of the so-called Incas, Aztecs, Mayans. As a matter of fact, Taz Pop brought that out in his show 2 weeks ago about how the Mayans slave ships were found with Mayan inscriptions or whatever. That, not to lose my point, I'm about to go off into another tangent. We're the original descendants of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Right, that's who we are, and according to prophecy, I can't get that scripture quick. That one where it says, "I said to be a falling away first." That contrary, and the only reason I'm going here and speaking on this just for a second is because I've seen another video that Vocab Malone put up, and he's in front of a large congregation of people, and he's giving a breakdown about Hebrew Israelites. And you would swear he would be almost be a Hebrew Israelite as much information as he has about us. I mean, the call us, he said, don't call them congregate, call them camps. And here's the breakdown of the camps and the few major camps coming out of One West. He called One Westers is what he calls us and says. And One West was the location of the original school coming out of New York City. It was One West, 125th Street in Harlem, New York, where this knowledge of us being Hebrew Israelites, being the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and Mexicans, that's where this knowledge of the 12 tribes first started being revealed to us, but was from One West. Now, you had other schools that were teaching Sammy Davis Jr. was a black Jewish Orthodox, so-called Orthodox. And he was black, but he was doing he converted to Judaism and being Jewish. And you had a lot of black Jewish congregations not realizing that we are the original Jews. So you had a lot of people that was teaching that not even teaching that blacks were Jews or whatever, or Hebrews, but he had a lot of converts that was converting to being Jewish or Judaism, believing that they were Gentiles and then coming back into the knowledge of being Israelites.
There was on the roast of Richard Pryor.
Bring it up.
Yeah, you got to bring it up. The roast that they did, when Richard Pryor had Bootsy Collins, Tim Reed from WKRP in Cincinnati.
Okay.
I don't know how far back. And Witherspoon, the voice of Grandpa on Boondocks or in Living Color.
Yes.
They all were wearing shields or Star of David.
Okay.
And, you know, Bootsy Collins, George Clinton, they all were wearing the Star of David or the Shield of David, the six-point star, in representing that they were Jews or Jewish also. And I think that they may have been following after after Sammy Davis Jr.
Okay.
On that side, bring that out. If you look at the roast, the roast that they actually did on TV for Richard Pryor, and you look at, and they all were wearing open chest, the shirt was open with the big collars and really big necklaces with the Shield of David.
So yeah, you we do have a history of blacks who converted to Judaism, so-called converted to the Jewish religion. All right, not understanding that they were actual Jews, not understanding that they were the actual descendants of Israelites. So. As far as Crowley was the head of a congregation that was pretty big, and even had some churches set up in Africa, what have you. So that led up to some offshoots as far as the Ben Amis, who were in the Mono Israel. That's where Bobby Houston, Bobby Brown, and Whitney Houston went to go visit. You have. Then you had another group called the Commandment Keepers. It was also out of Harlem. This is where you get like, what's your man's name? The beatboxer.
Dougie Fresh.
Dougie Fresh, coming from that branch, or what have you. But they weren't teaching that the so-called blacks, Native Americans, and so-called Latinos of the Americas, that they are the 12 descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, with the biblical proof, with not only the biblical proof, but the archaeological proof, with the historical records of proving that, yes, the so-called natives of the Americas, and for those people that were brought up on slave ships, that we are the actual descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? So with that, but there had to be this. You find the scripture for me?
Yes, sir.
And just read it out.
It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3.
Okay.
And it reads, let no man deceive you by any means.
No, I'm sorry. Start verse 1. Start verse 1.
Come. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. And it reads, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled.
All right, so Peter is one. Remember, Peter is the one that Christ said, "I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." That's why through the religious look we have of Peter, we have Peter standing at the pearly gates, and there's this image that you had to go stand in front of Peter. And I guess Peter's gonna open up the books and give you judgment if you can get into the kingdom or not. Again, from a purely religious point of view, that's a bunch of malarkey. That is not. What it meant when Christ said, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The keys that he was giving him and the other 12 disciples was the understanding of the mysteries of the Bible, the understanding of who the 12 tribes were, the understanding of what we had to go through. He gave them those keys. But this thing, this myth that we're all going to be standing in this long, infinite line, going one at a time as we got to stand in front of Peter. And then he has a key, and guess what? He's going to open the gate, and we have angels flying around on one side of the gate, that there's an invisible force field that they can't fly past the fence, I guess, or the gates or whatever, and everybody's just looking like, come on, come on. And you're seeing Lassie and Spot and your great aunt Emma, and they're all just having a great old time. There's Tupac and Big and Enna made up, and they're drinking Hennessy, and there's smoking a cigar and enjoying heaven. That religious outlook that we've been fed and spoon-fed since the arrival of Caucasians here in the Americas in 1492 is a complete lie. So here, Peter, the same Peter is trying to warn us. He's like, look, we're supposed to be preparing for the day of Christ. And Peter understood he was speaking in a prophetic tone here. He was speaking of future events, not at that time then, but the times that we're in now, getting ready for Christ to return. He said, look, don't be shaken in spirit or what have you about the day of Christ. Because remember, Christ told, Peter was one of the ones who asked Christ, how are we going to know when is you coming back? How are we going to know when is the actual time? And that's what you get from Matthew chapter 24, where the whole chapter, he tells you there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. It's going to be pestilences. It's going to be earthquakes. It's going to be race wars. It's going to be diseases outbreak. It's going to be the love of men is going to wax cold. And then there's going to be a great insurrection, a great persecution against those who actually believe the right way. But there's also going to be a falling away. So he went through that pretty extensively in Matthew 24. It's going to be pretty terrifying. And then he also went on to explain that, like as in the days of Noah, so it's going to be the same way when he makes his return. That he said they're going to be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Now, when Christ said marriage, there was no justice of the peace when Christ said marriage and giving in marriage. So it's not like there was a courthouse that you went to and you stood in front of a priest, and then by the state of Texas and the power of God, I now pronounce you man and wife. That concept did not come to us until the so-called white man got here to the Americas, that's what marriage is. That once you put a ring on somebody's finger, now you're a husband and wife. You don't find that nowhere in the Bible. That's how the process was done. So we'll read Matthew 24, and that's why I'm saying this. We'll read Matthew 24 where it says they'll be marrying and giving in marriage, and we're thinking that it's going to be just a regular old day, and people are going to be going to the justice of the peace, going to their pastors, their reverends, their ministers, and getting married. But when Christ made that statement, that's not how marriage went down. There was marriage feasts, and that's the whole breakdown that we're going to go into today. But there were marriage feasts because that's where you turn the water into wine. We did have that custom, but this custom of a man getting down on one knee, asking a woman's hand in proposal, and they go before a reverend, a priest, even a rabbi, or the justice of the peace.
Captain in the Navy.
Or a captain on the ship. Or what have you. And now they have the power to marry. That is nowhere in the Bible. That is nowhere in biblical history. Nowhere. The marriage vows is, I don't know what book they're reading from, but it's not the Bible when the preacher standing behind the altar and reading, do you such and such and such take this person to be your lawfully wedded, whatever, to love, to cherish, obey, to do this, whatever, as long as you both shall live, I do. Do you, da 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 da, promise to do this and that and whatever, as long as you both shall live, I do. If does anybody here have any objections to these two getting married? Then by the power invested in me by the state of Texas or New Mexico or whatever, and the power of this person, I now bless you man and wife. That ceremony is nowhere in the Bible. The exchanging of rings, nowhere in the Bible. That is complete man-made by white people, the Catholic Church. That was nowhere in the Bible. That now we're married. So when Christ made that statement, marrying and giving in marriage, this is the point I'm trying to get to. We didn't have no idea that Christ was talking about like it as in the days of Noah, where the marriage was, you had biblical marriage as far as sex. Sex in the Bible would be the marriage. That's when people were considered married in the Bible, in biblical history. When two people lay down and had sex, when a man took a woman's virginity, that was marriage. That was considered, they were now married. Now, there was a formality to it, that man, the groom, did have to go to the bride's father and establish a dowry. And again, contrary to what religion teaches, that, yeah, they were just selling their daughters. They weren't selling daughters. The purpose of a dowry was to make sure that this nigga you're getting with is financially stable. Make sure this nigga you're getting with has got some sense of responsibility. It makes total sense. You know, the proverbial, you don't have a pot to piss in or one to throw it out of, but you in love with this person, is a true statement. So the father, to make sure that wasn't the case, said, cool, if you want my daughter, then this is the dowry I'm demanding for my daughter. That you're going to get a woman who is a virgin, never had sex with anybody, and has been raised on the virtues, the morals, and the values of what God and the Bible are talking about. And that's why Solomon came back and told us what? The price of a virtuous woman is far above rubies. To get a virtuous woman, there's really not enough rubies you can give somebody to, you're about to marry a virtuous woman, one who is truly God-fearing, according to what the Bible says, not according to what religion says, that price is far above rubies. It tells you that she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life, that she's not afraid of work. She's not afraid to provide for her house. And then she brings her spoils to her husband for him to manage. That's Proverbs chapter 31. So to get a daughter who's been raised on these morals from birth, her mother was raised on these morals, and now you want to marry this treasure? Nah, you better come correct. You at least got to have your finances together. You at least have to have some type of mental capacity. And then that gives the father also time to research your background. Who are your parents? How were you raised? What is their reputation? What were your parents like? Is there a history of mental illness in your family? What do y'all have going on? There was time for all this research to be done. And then there would be a marriage festival. And then everybody would go to the bridegroom's house, or the father's house, where the mother would lay out the tokens of virginity in her bedroom, in the nuptial chamber. And after partying and feasting and having a great time, the two, the bride and the groom, will be escorted by the mother and the father to the nuptial chamber. And they would have sex. And then the next day, the mother or chambermaids will go in, and they would gather up those sheets that had this woman's blood on them from when she gave up her virginity. And those will be presented to the father as a record that when this man married, had sex with his daughter, she was a virgin. In case he ever wanted to come back and say that, no, she was a hoe, she was a trick, she was a slut, she'd been with somebody else already, and now I'm not trying to deal with this, that now the evidence can be brought out. No, this father raised a good woman. Now, here's the evidence of it. Here's the proof of it. Now, you try to raise up an evil report against his father and against the daughter he raised. He tells you all the men of the city, when they get together, beat the hell out of this nigga for talking junk, take money from him, and then send him back to her. And he bet not. I don't know how much more so I can get. You bet not say a day. She better live it. You better become Prince Charming. She better live her life ever happily ever after. from that point on, that you would dare try to raise up an evil report against a daughter of Zion. So, again, getting back to the Mary and Gabriel marriage that Christ was talking about, that he did have, he went to the marriage feast or whatever, but when he gave that parable, the biblical marriage of having sex, people having sex. Today you have same-sex marriages. You have transgender, trans, bi, trans, whatever type of marriages going on. Yeah, I remember years ago on Jerry Springer, a dude married a llama. He literally married a llama. Yeah, I remember seeing on My Strange Addiction, a Strange Attraction, a woman married a damn roller coaster. She married a roller coaster. So to see all these type of illicit, vulgar, profane type of acts and rituals taking place, this is why we say, God damn America. This is why we say, God curse this place. But Peter's telling us, look, don't worry about it. I'm sorry. Getting back to all this now.
Getting back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2.
Uh-huh.
That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us.
Then as we're seeing the prophecies taking place, we're actually seeing these things. We're seeing the wars taking place. We're seeing the diseases, widespread, the pandemics, the epidemics taking place. We're seeing, and with the wars, rumors of wars, the veterans coming back all burnt up, broken, missing arms, missing legs, missing eyes, faces half burnt off their bodies. That we're seeing all these tragic things, and again, according to religion, to pray for world peace. When Christ said, I didn't come for peace, that when we start to see all these things happening, he says, don't be troubled. Don't let this get you to where we got to hold prayer vigils all night long at the church praying for world peace and praying for everybody just to get along. No, as we see these things happening, he says, don't be troubled. Go ahead.
As that the day of Christ is at hand.
Know that when we see all these things happening, the day of Christ is at hand. And we keep seeing more police brutality. We keep seeing more racism. We keep seeing more Karens and seeing more people, even with the brothers out there in L.A. that went on that shooting spree in the subway or whatever. That was black people. You normally don't hear about black people doing such things. That as we're seeing these type of events take place more and more and more and more, don't be troubled. Like, oh, Lord God, what are we going to do? Oh, Lord God, oh, God, oh, God, please. We're not supposed to be troubled. All these things must come to pass. Read.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, let no man deceive you.
And then it says, let no man deceive you, whether he be a pope, whether he be a reverend, whether he be a bishop, whether he be a deacon, whether he be a whoever. Let no man deceive you. Go ahead.
By any means.
Go ahead.
For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first.
It tells you that the day of Christ is not going to come except there be a falling away first. And the falling away was we as Israelites had to fall away from our nationality. We had to forget who we were. That had to come a time when we did not consider ourselves Israelites. And that was the process of time from when the so-called white man got here to the Americas, 1492, up until the present, that we had to be taught and beaten into us that we're Negroes, African-Americans, Black, Navajo, Puerto Rican, Costa Rican, Mexican, Haitian, Dominican, that we're Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, non-denominational, that we are the NAACP, that we're the Nation of Islam, that we're Buddhist, that we're Neo-Soul, that we are
Essays,
Vatos, Crips, Bloods, Latin Kings, Zulu Nation,
Hispanic,
that we had to be taught all these lies and really swallow them down, hook, line, and sinker, that the day of Christ cannot come until that happened first. And then there had to be a great awakening. There had to be a time where, like it was prophesied about, Elijah would come back first before the great and terrible day of the Lord to bring the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children back to the fathers. That now the time is at hand. Now the last days are here. So, again, going back through all this, again, because we'll have a long type of stuff going on, that we're a fad, we're a religion. He calls it Hebrew Israelism. And really just and he's got a large following. He's a white boy. He's got a large following. And just trying to discredit any teaching or anything that we as Hebrew Israelites have going on. And again, trying to use the fact that it's so new. Give me one more scripture. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9.
1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads, For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last.
If people read the Bible, this wouldn't be such a shock. I think that God, this is Paul speaking, that God has set forth us, the apostles, what? Last. And the truth, we have been set forth last. To come back and be able to teach and show our people that for everything that you've tried, we've tried to be in fraternities, we've tried politics, we've tried just rioting, we've tried the Nation of Islam, we've tried to be some Buddhists with the Yang Dogye Rehiyu. We tried the yoga meditations. I'm sorry?
No, the Renge, you know, the chant of the ones in the airport.
Buddhists. Hare
Krishnas.
We've had the Mongolian knots, haircuts and all that type of stuff, wearing nothing but pastels. We've had the hippie movements where we just can wear patchouli and Nag Champa running in the house. We've done the politics things. We've done the university things. We've done the affirmative action things. We've done the
marching.
We've done the having dreams and live for your dream and go for your dream. Becoming American citizens, becoming American judges, policemen, mayors, governors, politicians. Yeah, I mean, what have we not tried? Have we not given ourselves over to 110% being athletes, being soldiers in the Army, being sailors in the Navy, being jarheads in the Marines? What have we not tried to give ourselves over to? Being the postman, being becoming teachers and professors, getting our degrees, and we're still not accepted in this society. We've had as a history the archaeology is coming out and the history is coming out. How many black towns are underwater, literally under man-made lakes right now? Lake Lanier in Atlanta, right there in Georgia. Been there, beautiful place. You realize that was the home of over 1,000 black free people in Georgia, and it was prosperous. It was not just the Black Wall Street of Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was in Georgia, the South. And it was, I forget the name of the city, but Lake Lanier, go look it up. That's a man-made lake that is literally was formed to drown that whole city, to flood that whole city. And there's hundreds of cities in America that where it was blacks, Native Americans, they literally made man-made real-ass lakes to cover up the type of prosperity that we had. We talk about buy black. Support black business. We've done that part already. We literally have done that already. The one thing, we've been in unions. We've been from a Teamsters union to the Pullman's union to Plumber's union, electrician's union, carpenter's union, carpet cleaning unions. Entrepreneurs. What have we not done?
Romeo must die, the father. He wanted the place in the box up over all the fans and everything. He wanted to be the owner of these teams.
And tell me that's not even happening right now. Now we're seeing black coaches in the NFL and the leaning towards now black ownership. The Washington, not the Redskins no more, the Washington Commodores. I think they're the Commodores or Commanders, one of the
right,
two.
I think it is.
That's a black-owned team.
They was the football team.
Yeah, it was the Redskins, and now they're the it's a Navy. It's a Navy officer. It might be a commander.
The Admirals or
It starts with a C.
Okay.
But I believe that's black owned. So I mean, we're doing all these things, and we're still not safe. We're still not free yet. We're still considered second class citizens, no matter how much money you've made. Michael Jordan being a billionaire, and Magic Johnson, Jay-Z,
Kanye West,
No Limit, Master P,
right.
Irv Gotti. What are we not from entertainers? The Michael Jacksons, the Sammy Davis Jr.'s, the Sidney Poitier's, Will Smith just won the Oscar. What have we not done? The one thing that's not been done is that we're the Israelites. The truth of who we are. The people that when Columbus and Murder Incorporated first landed here in the Americas, who were the people that they ran into? They were Israelites. They weren't Jamaicans. They weren't Haitians. They weren't Dominicans. They weren't Floridians. They weren't Indians because Columbus thought he found a new path to India, so he called them Indians. No. That's not who we were. Mexicans. The word Mexican means mixed up people. They didn't say, hola, Don Cristobal. Me llamo es Juan. And may I say, come on, Mexicano.
Chicano.
Chicano. Me a Cubano, you know, or whatever. That's not what happened. That's not how it went down. The people that were the natives of the Americas are the Israelites. The people that are brought on slave ships from Africa to the Americas, Israelites. And that's been hidden from us. That was stripped from us. But that's what Peter was telling us. But is it, read that verse again, verse 3. Read that right there.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter
4 and verse 9. Yeah.
And it reads, for I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last.
The apostles were set last. And again, the apostles had nothing to do with no theological seminary school. The true apostle of Christ didn't have nothing to do with no been ordained by some piece of paper or some degree. Christ didn't do it that way. But for white people, for this system, I'll revert to that now. For this, the American system to work, to keep white superiority on top and keep us on the bottom, now you had to go get a piece of paper and be ordained. You had to get a piece of paper and get a degree. You had to be ordained by some type of somebody's that now say you're allowed to be a pastor. You're allowed to be a reverend. You're allowed to be a father. You're allowed to be a deacon, a bishop, or what have you. That's not how Christ set things up. That's not how Paul set things up. But God set forth us, the apostles, last. Read.
Apostles last, as it were, appointed to death.
And it seemed like that our nation is at the point to die. That we were at the point to die. So again, when you put the scripture together and see this, again, we are most definitely the 12 tribes of Israel. We are most definitely the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. And now give me your Romans 13:11.
You don't want the rest of that?
If you want to bring it out, go for it.
You pretty much. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and the angels and to men. Meaning, you know, just like Mashaba just got done saying, we've been everything from pimps to prostitutes to thugs to, you know, all all the other nations are in astonishment at these are the people of the Lord. These are the Lord's children. This is the spectacle of that we are to the whole world. Pants sagging. Genocide.
Yeah.
Bloods and Crips killing each other over a color. That's a spectacle. That's an event of spectacle proportions.
And then the spectacle of how we've been so deceived and fooled by religion that they can look at us and see, man, how did y'all go from being the Jews like Guevara's bringing out to being the ambassadors of God on earth? Look at you now, Megan Thee Stallion. What? That
Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj. like Chris Tucker said about his mom. What's wrong with you? Look at us. Look at how destroyed we've become. But again, all that was prophesied said now this time would come, then now there would be the awakening. Now give me Romans 13:11.
Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, and it reads, and that knowing the time.
And so now we got to understand what the times, God's time. And now, and that knowing the time, go ahead.
That now it is high time to awake out of sleep.
And we've been asleep to the who we really are. We've been put to sleep because of religion. We've been put to sleep because of politics. We've been put to sleep because of chasing the almighty dollar. Even imagine, I mean, just that saying makes me sick right now. The almighty dollar. Who the hell made the dollar almighty? A piece of paper. Is it mighty?
It's a note.
Yeah, and it's a Federal Reserve note. But look at what our people will do. What people do for money. Look at what our people do now. And what you will put yourself, what kind of embarrassment, humility, or sacrifices you'll make for money. That at one time, we were known for making sacrifices to our God. And our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had the nation of Israel on top of everybody and everything. We were supposed to be the policemen, the big brothers of the earth, to make sure the earth was in order, to make sure that there'd be no chance of any animal going extinct for overhunting. For just trophy pieces on a wall or a rug on the floor.
A taxidermy
type of situation. We, at one time, again, were supposed to be the policemen of the whole entire earth, with God's law being the law of the land, the law of everywhere. But we didn't want to do that. We fell. So we had to go through our little chastisement so now we can come back. And under God's power, rulership, and authority, get the earth back in order. Get the earth back to where it's supposed to be at. Okay? But it says that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. Go ahead.
For now is our salvation nearer than we believe.
Because now the salvation of the children of Israel, the salvation of the Israelites is even closer than when we believed. All right? So what I just want to touch on that. Let's going to get to this class now, because I kind of want to make this the last class on this, in this part of the series. I titled the class Swearing, Cursing, and Dumbass. All right. If you've been following along, this is part six of this part of the series that I've been going over, and I'm not going to recap. That's going to take another 30 minutes to recap. Go back and check out some of the other parts of the series of the shows that we've done concerning this topic. Last week we finished dealing with the word damn and damnation. The very first part of the series we dealt with the word God damned. And understanding the word damned just means cursed or the prayer of prayer for some type of future punishment, injury, or evil to happen to a person. And we've been comparing why has it been so imperative because of religion and because of and to establish and keep white superiority, that they would not want us as Israelites to curse them. That's why a curse word is so bad. A cuss word is so bad. That's why they tell us swearing is so bad. And I, you know, I'd like to make one more part to this class. I'm not going to get to it today. But that swearing, that we've been taught to associate swearing using four-letter words. I'm going to keep it there for right now. That by using four-letter words, that's swearing. No, it's not. It's bad for white people if we use four-letter words, because those four-letter words would be us cursing or wishing a curse or wishing evil or wishing or praying for the end of white expansion, praying for an end of white rulership, praying for an end of white rulership, and for the return of righteousness in the earth. And I'm not saying nothing crazy with that. That's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the part, that's the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. That we're praying for God's kingdom to get here. So for God's kingdom to get here, guess what? That means every other kingdom will be demolished, will be exterminated, will be diffused, including America. There won't be no more of this. It won't be no more Congress, Senate, prime ministers, emperors. That's done. It's going to be God's kingdom and God's rulership on earth like it is in heaven. So this is what we pray for anyway. But to be given this thing that to curse or swear, especially white rulership, to curse or swear to God, if you get me out of this, I'll do this to this or whatever. That's been associated with taking the name the Lord God in vain, and that's been associated with making sure we stay in order. We're making sure that we keep the white superior image in our minds and in our talk, to where now even black people have really adopted this, to where if you don't use cuss words, you're not black. If you're not so-called cussing or using four-letter words, you're not black enough. You talk white. Now if you talk proper using that white man's talk, we've been sold that golden goose, and it's again. It's been total misdirection. It's been total misinformation. So we're going to go to we did Psalms 35. Cool. And moving right along then, if for everything that we've been taught, again, through religion and white society from 1492 until the present, it's been wrong when we compare what the Bible says. So let's go to Genesis chapter 49 and verse 14. Let's go to Genesis chapter 49 and verse 14.
Genesis chapter 49 and verse
19? 14.
14. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 14. And it reads, Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens.
Let's do this. This is Genesis chapter 49. Let's get some context. Let's read Genesis 49, start at verse 1 and 2.
Genesis chapter 49, starting at verse 1. And it reads, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last day.
All right, so if we're going to read this in context, it's telling us what? Jacob is calling who? His sons. Who is Jacob? Jacob is the father to the nation of Israel. That's why we're called the children of Israel, because Jacob's name was changed to Israel. To be a child of Israel, meaning you came out of one of his sons. To literally be this is why we say this is a genetics. This is a bloodline. This is a family tree. That now Jacob is calling his 12 sons, and it's going to tell his 12 sons what type of things were going to be happening to their lineage, to their seed, in the last days. All right, read it one more time, please.
Yes, sir.
And if you have anything you want to expand on, please, it's all open.
Yes, sir. Genesis chapter 49, and we're starting at the first verse.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together.
So who did Jacob call?
His sons.
He called his sons. Who were his sons? Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Asher, Naphtali, and Issachar. He called his 12 sons. He called his sons. And was saying, and said what?
Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last day.
I'm going to tell you, this is going to be going on with your lineage in the last days. Read.
Verse 2. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob.
So again, who is he addressing?
His sons.
His actual sons. Go ahead.
And hearken unto Israel, your father.
And so again, this is a blood thing. This is not a religious thing. This is a blood covenant. This is done with genealogy, a family tree. So Jacob, whose name is Israel, is talking to his 12 sons who became the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? Now, we're going to jump down to verse 14 now. So, again, I hope it's understood that this is Jacob addressing each one of his sons. Did everybody catch that? Are we together on this? I don't want to lose nobody. This is now Jacob addressing one of his 12 sons.
Genesis chapter 49 and verse 14.
Go ahead.
And it reads, Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens.
Okay. Again, Issachar. He's speaking to the father of the tribe of Issachar. And now he's describing the tribe of Issachar is going to be known as what in the last days?
A strong ass couching down between two burdens.
So a whole tribe is called an ass? I know when we go through the Genesis 49:14 breakdown, we don't break this. We don't bring this aspect out. We don't bring this perspective out. But again, just going through this, a whole tribe is called an ass. Now, we know prophetically, it's referring to the so-called Mexicans. That Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. That the way that, I know it's in Central America also, but in Mexico, the siesta that is taking place in the heat of the day, and that they had to take a break, it's just too hot. And that's why they wear the big sombrero hats. And they wear the blankets.
Sarape or...
It's like the blankets. There's a name for it. The poncho.
Right.
They wear ponchos, and they'll couch down. They can't sit on the ground because it's so hot. It's so baking. But they'll couch down, and with a poncho on and with that big sombrero to cast some shade, that they'll sit there, and they'll just sit there for hours waiting for until it cools down a little bit.
Right.
And then
some shade,
and then their work ethic. Mexicans' work ethic, forget about it. It's damn near unmatched. That's what the true understanding of Genesis chapter 49 verse 14 is referring to, but I just wanted to pull out and look at and see that you have a whole tribe called an ass. Issachar is a strong ass. Now, if ass is supposed to be a cuss word, or ass is supposed to be a swear word. Why is it in the Bible? Why is it in the Bible then? And yes, even some people say, well, you can say jackass or what have you, but still the word ass is associated, like the word damn is associated with being a cuss word, a swear word. But it's in the Bible, and you have a whole tribe in the Bible called them ass. Is that wrong? Is that wrong? Let's go to 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 15 through 16. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 15 through 16.
2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 13. And it says, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness.
2 Peter?
2 Peter,
chapter 2, verse 15 and 16.
And it reads, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray.
And I tell you, a lot of us have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following after religion. Following after for them to put on their money in God we trust. And America, for them to say, even though they never prove it, for them to say God, a God-fearing country. They have the president swearing on the Bible when they take the presidency. But then they put the Bible away and judge people according to their own man-made laws, according to what they came up with. If you were a God-fearing country, truly a God-fearing country, then people should be judged by the Bible, should they not? There should be no discussion about freedom of choice. It's murder. That's not her baby anyway. That God is the one who, according to the scriptures, God's the one who puts a baby inside a woman. To allow her to be pregnant. That's to come back in and kill that, that's murder. Matter of fact, it's funny. When you go back, I do want to get this. I was thinking about this, but hey, I didn't put it in class, and I should have. Remember, I wasn't even thinking about this class. I was thinking about another class. There's a debate right now going on in here in Texas. Not even a debate. It was just in the news. About abortions, that Texas is, they mandated that abortion is illegal here in Texas. And some girl went and got an abortion and got arrested for it because it's considered murder. When we read the scriptures, where's that eye for an eye at? You remember? It's in two places. Now, I want the Old Testament. I want the Old Testament. Let me do this. Let me look on my computer. If I can give me one sec. This is important right now.
It's Exodus 21 and 24.
All right, read that real quick. That's exactly it. That is it.
Whoa, one second.
Suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold.
All right, it's Exodus chapter 21. I've got to catch up with us. somebody from Mina Guevara. Right. Let's go to Exodus chapter 21. We're going to start verse 22.
Exodus chapter 21 and verse 22. And it reads, if men strive and
hurt... Right, you know, start at 18.
Exodus chapter 21 and verse 18. And it reads, and if men strive together and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time, and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed.
All right, so two men are fighting, and get to the point where one picks up a rock, hits the other one in the head or what have you, that in this case, if the person doesn't die from this head strike, whatever, that the person that hit him with the stone is responsible for his medical bills, responsible for his life. Is now responsible for him. Go ahead.
Verse 20. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall be surely punished.
All right, so again, is it, give me the comparison now. If America is such a God-fearing place, how many slaves were killed with the bullwhip, literally whipped to death, or with a stick, or were shot or for no reason? It's telling you that the slave master was not supposed to get no reparations, that they were supposed to be surely punished. Reading on.
Verse 21. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money.
Go ahead.
If men strive and hurt a woman with child.
Now listen to the scenario right here. Men get to fight, and now they hurt a woman with a child. Go ahead.
So that her fruit depart from her.
So now her fruit departs from her. A man causes a woman's fruit to depart from. What's a woman's fruit? Her child. Her unborn child that's in her womb. And a man causes a woman to lose her unborn child in her womb. Go ahead.
And yet no mischief follows.
No mischief meaning she doesn't die. Go ahead.
He shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine.
Go ahead.
And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life.
Yeah, hold up. Now, it tells you, for this man who caused this woman to lose her baby, that now what's supposed to happen?
And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life.
Now there's supposed to be life for life. Now, that's if the woman passes away also because of this. But the fact that she lost her baby, the man that caused her to lose her baby is supposed to be surely punished. Not given the opportunity to keep having women lose their babies, terminating their pregnancies, this so-called freedom of choice. The person that causes a woman to lose her baby is supposed to be punished. And if she dies behind it, this is where the law of eye for an eye and life for life comes from. Read.
24. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot.
Read.
25. Burning for burning, wound for wound, strike for strike.
That's the law of God. That's the law. Even though this can be applied again towards abortions. that this was to be meant towards. That this law was first given, in this case here, when a man hurts a pregnant woman. What his judgment was, that if she lost her baby, that man was supposed to be punished. Not made a doctor, not given a practice, not being able to continue to abort or harm other fetuses, that man supposed to be punished. And if the woman died behind this, he's supposed to lose his life. Or if she lost her eye, guess what he's supposed to do? Lose her eye. If she lost a foot, whatever was going down, I don't know how these things might happen, but if these things went down, this was the context of what this scripture was first given in. The eye for eye, tooth for tooth. We know that Christ came back and gave us some understanding about mercy, and that now, because we got to the point where we didn't look for any justification. It was just, you know, you did this to me, I'm going to do it to you. Amongst brothers. Well, I'm going to keep the law then, because you did this, I'm going to do it to you. But then that gets the cycle going, like we mentioned earlier about the Christian of Bloods, that it's just a continuous cycle of killing one another. And that's not what the purpose of this law was. The purpose of this law was, one, don't abort no babies. That's the first purpose of the law. Do not abort babies. And then if two men get to fighting, first of all, what are you fighting about that you in such a rage that now a pregnant woman gets hurt? What the hell wrong with y'all? That it got to that point? Is that going to be, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, man, my anger just got the best of me. Oh, man, I just went Hulk and just lost it. Nah, well,
shooting.
Cool, no problem.
Shooting with no insight on where the bullet is going.
Right.
And it goes through an apartment and hits a pregnant woman, and the baby is killed. All because of a drive-by,
right?
Or really no reason.
Really, there is no reason. Really, there is no reason. So again, I just want to touch on some of these things that this concept, and that's the purpose of my whole class, this whole series, is not just so we can just be cussing or using four-letter words. That's not the purpose of it. But this concept that we've been spoon-fed. That now it goes opposite of what is presented as good, white, Christian, wholesome living by using four-letter words or whatever, that is unpilgrimish, that's un-Amish, that's unchristian. Stop. Because y'all aren't coming from the Bible with that. Y'all come up with your own man-made standards and following this most crooked, corrupt government from 1492 until present, that you've been forcing these type of lies and type of, you got our people more worried about cussing than any pork. They're more worried about if they say the word goddamn or ass than smoking cigarettes. Than really defiling their bodies. You got other people will go and eat rare meat, medium rare, what have you. That isn't deemed evil or wrong or what have you. Or to pray over a pork dinner, a catfish dinner, a shrimp dinner, that's profane. That's going against God. That won't be said. There's delicatessens and delicacies and expensive restaurants that once you made the high life, once you made the good life, you can afford to eat shrimp and afford to eat lobster every day. You can eat snails and escargot every day. Again, white people's foods. The gumbo down in Louisiana with everything from crawfish to alligator meat to
snake.
Snake. So whatever the hell you can find, throw in the pot with some cayenne pepper, and that there good eating, boy. What? But let me say, who made this goddamn mess? Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. And you're serious. Same-sex marriages on TV. Every TV show you watch, every movie, it's got now some gay scene in it. But that's just acting and a reflection of the times, the day and times. But let a movie have a few too many GDs. Let the movie have Sam Jackson just let loose with the MFs. And all of a sudden, that's vain, vulgar. That burns your ears.
There's a quota for those type of words in the movie.
Now there's a quota for that you, if it goes over so many F words, fuck words, then now it's rated X. That's just too explicit. That's not a triple X. That's just X. If you got one too many F words in the damn movie.
Because you're an Academy Award.
And because you're an Academy Award. Keep my wife's name out your effing mouth. But it was a slap. That was the violence that he committed. But we will put more energy and attention into these type of words. But look at the actions of people. That now you got in elementary schools, same-sex bathrooms in elementary schools. That you got Disneyland is no longer going to say welcome to park, boys and girls, because that cuts out the transgender or the fluid gender community. That's not profanity. That is, as we're going to get it by definition, is profanity. That by the is profane. That, according to God's morals, is vulgar. Doing things against God's law is profane and vulgar and offensive. Not this thing you got us believing that to use four-letter words. Shit, fuck, damn, goddamn, hell, pendejo, culo. That's over the top. Oh my God, cover the kids' ears. Hold up. Cover the kids' ears when it comes to those words, but let them hear about same-sex marriages in school. Let them hear, let them see on the Disney Channel young people kissing same-sex. Frosty Lemon in Saturday morning cartoons, Elmer Fudd kissing Bugs Bunny, kissing Daffy Duck. The rooster and the dog.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Doing something foul where he gets it looks like his pants are being blown off, what have you. Let that be seen.
Spanking him with the you know, he would let him run till his rope
choked him,
and then he would turn him around and hit him with a 2x4.
Right.
Like spanking him, like, you know.
That is wholesome entertainment. The black crows mimicking black people on the fence or the wire or on the crow. That is just cartoons, and that's for kids. The reindeers flying every Christmas, that's a straight out bold faced lie. But that's for kids. That's okay. As we come up with this Sunday, Easter, to teach that rabbits lay eggs, that's okay. But to use shit, fuck, damn, hell, that's swearing, and we got to make sure we cover the kids' ears.
Filth,
Warren,
filth.
Right, like Bill Cosby, like everybody said, Bill Cosby.
Right.
That all of a sudden that is often wrong. But to see interracial marriages, that's okay. To see it portrayed in a lot of commercials now, where you see the black wife with the white husband, they're eating cereal, got some mulatto kids. That's okay, even though that goes against what God said. You're supposed to marry within your nation. Any of the 12 tribes can marry any of the other 12 tribes. God, that's not a problem. To go outside your nation is going to get you led away from God's laws, get you led away from God's morals, get you led away from God's direction. Somehow, that is not the focus, that is vulgar, vain, offensive, or profanity. It's shit, fuck, damn, hell, motherfucker. That is profanity. Oh, my God. What are you listening to? I thought y'all supposed to be Christians. I thought y'all read the Bible. Well, guess what words are in the Bible? Goddamn is in the Bible. Ass is in the Bible. Pissing against the wall is in the Bible. Dumbass is in the Bible. These things are in the Bible. But again, I'm trying to bring focus to how much influence, how much we've been influenced and taken away from what's right, according to what God says, and how we look at things that there's a scripture that says, surely you're turning the things upside down, it's going to be esteemed as a potter's vessel. That now, what God finds vulgar, profane, and evil, that's on top as if that's okay now. That's okay. So everything's been turned upside down. But to actually do what's right in the eyes of God, that's actually on the bottom. That now in this society is acceptable behavior. And remember, one of the things we read about the word to damn someone is somebody who's doing something hateful, detestable, or abominable in the eyes of God. Same-sex marriage is abominable in the eyes of God. Tyler Perry, in a dress, makes God's stomach turn. Not from laughter. It's disgusting. God can't stand that. But what do? You make sure Tyler Perry's damn near a billionaire. Being supported heavily by Oprah Winfrey. God is against these things. The Wandas from Jamie Foxx back in the day on In Living Color. The Martins with shenanigans. That's against God. That's vulgar. That's wrong. But to use these four-letter words, there's nothing wrong with that. That is not the focus. To make sure a woman has the freedom of choice, that if she chooses to be a whore, if she chooses to be a hoe, to be a bitch, that's in the Bible too, we don't get that. It came out of Christ's mouth. To be a bitch, a female dog that will sleep with anybody and have multiple partners is a bitch. That's looked up to in this society. But that's against what God says.
It's Isaiah 29 and 16.
Read it.
In Isaiah 29 and 16, it says, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay.
A potter's clay is something that gets smashed. That is something you made. You made this. A potter sits around on the pottery wheel, and he forms a pot. He gets the mud, puts some water on it, and with his hands, he spins the wheel, and he makes a pot. He forms a pot. Then he puts it in the oven. It dries. And then if he chooses to, if it's not right, he can smash it. But this is what God is saying about how this society and this world has turned things upside down. They put evil on top and put righteousness on the bottom. That's going to be, and it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be blasted to pieces as now we're getting into the Bible and now we're learning God's righteousness. And that's some man-made bullshit. That now we actually get to, we need to start getting our mind on what God is focused on and not what religion has been handed down to us for generation to generation to generation to generation to generation from 1492 until this present day. It's even getting worse these days. That one in Amos, one of them called good, evil, good. I think it's Amos. That, again, I'm not just doing this because I just like using four-letter words. That's not the purpose of this. But to put be put into this box, where now if I use a four-letter word that also I don't know the Bible, or people that use four-letter words as they're giving explaining things in the Bible, then now that's against God. That's unchristian. What the hell is Christian about same-sex marriage? What the hell is Christian about a man putting on a dress acting like a woman? What the hell is Christian about Jada Pinkett Smith? Have y'all seen that video? It's fully around on TikTok right now and YouTube Shorts. This heifer, this bitch, this hoe says that at the age of 9 years old, her mother taught her how to self-pleasure herself, so that she would never have to depend on a man for pleasure. I think a man with pleasure, that she would always be responsible for her own happiness. And she was cheering it on. That her what she was saying, I'll put it in layman's words, common words. This bitch's mom taught her how to finger herself at the age of 9 to pleasure herself so that she never would depend on a man for this. And now we're wondering, again, why she's bald-headed. The Isaiah chapter 3, you found it?
No, I didn't.
Don't worry about it. I'm going to keep going there. In Isaiah chapter 3, can we get that real quick then? And I think it's verse 12.
Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 12. And it reads, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them.
Will Smith. Jump down to verse 16 then.
16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion.
Now, I want this to be very, very clear. First, let me say, we got to the point in verse 12 that women rule over the men, and that's wrong. Like Jada ruling over Will Smith. And that's not just, she ain't the only one. You go down south, and that's, the woman runs everything. The black, independent, quote-unquote, strong woman that runs everything is according to her emotions? That's wrong. That's not in God's order. But you can't bring that up because you got to respect the woman. You got to always protect the woman at all costs. Then no matter what she does, no matter what she says, you better protect her. And again, I never had a sister. It was me and my brother, but as far as me and my mom and dad coming up this time. But one thing that was always ironic to me is you can go to be at the playground, and a girl would get two boys to start fighting. Or she was just very disrespectful. In nature, women do the hunting, a lion pride. Women do the hunting because a male is just too big, too forceful, too strong. So the women got to do the hunting for her and for them and the kids. Granted. One thing you never see a lioness do is get in the face of a lion in her head. That she just made the kill. He comes up and takes it, and she's like, nigga, what about the kids, nigga? Yeah, I said it. And would damn near dare this male lion not to go ahead and eat the food. Why would a female lion in the jungle not do that to the male lion? Because all it would take for that male lion to do is raise his paw, break her damn neck, break her leg. They just keep it moving because they understand the strength and what a man's supposed to do. I'm not advocating violence. But I'm saying even a female lion understands what a man would do. How many men when a woman feels that she can get in a man's face, what are you going to hit me? You going to hit me, bitch, nigga, pussy, saying all type of shit to a man? And the man says, woman, if you don't get in my face, do you know what I will do to you? Nigga, you ain't shit. Nigga, you ain't nothing. Getting in a man's face, that's improper. But especially here in America, why is that kind of conduct and behavior allowed? Because you have a thing called domestic violence. And all she has to do, if she survives the blow, all she has to do is call 911. And now his house just became her house because he's going to have to leave because he's going to be arrested. He's going to be in jail mad and not thinking whatever behind this whole situation. And now he's got a record where now if he ever wanted to get custody of his kids, he can't because he has a domestic violence arrest or charge or whatever on his record for this woman getting disrespectful. So going back to the schoolyard, a girl can get just disrespectful in a guy's face. He might spit on her. He might slap her. She does what? Go tells her brother. Go tells her cousin. Go tell some males. These males don't investigate nothing. All they heard was, you put hands on my sister. You did something to my sister. You did something to my cousin. You did something to my daughter. She's never interrogated. Never. About what the hell was she doing? The brothers, the cousins, everybody will even know the dude. No, that dude's a fighter. I believe he hit you because he's a fighter. But it's never a thing. If we know he's a fighter, what are you doing in his face? What were you doing? That he got pushed there. Were you being sassy? Running your damn mouth? What was going on that this happened? That's never the equation. Because we've been in this American type of mentality, whatever woman does, you better let her just do it. She can be Jada, an example, doing whatever she's going to do, and you being the man, you better go attack, beat down, do whatever to this dude who just did something to your sister, cousin, or what have you. Now, I'm not saying that a woman shouldn't be protected. But if this means some real protection, she better learn how to be quiet. Not sassy. How is she dressed? Is she dressed like a slut? Is she dressed like a hoe? And he touched her on the butt? Was she giving him the eyelashes? All the blinking and everything. Inviting him. He tells her about it. Obviously now she's going to get mad. And now to put him in his place, let me go tell my brothers, let me go tell my cousins, let me go tell whoever, so they'll come, nigga, and beat you down. No. That's wrong. But we've been taught what? She's a woman. She can do whatever she wants to. She can do whatever she wants to. You better not say, you just better be happy with it. That's the position they put black men and so-called Latino men, Native men here in America. So, but come on, you got children can get emancipated from their parents? Huh? So, but you're a God-fearing country, right? Well, to honor your father and mother that you might receive a blessing. Your president was sworn in on the Bible, right? How is any of this going to court? How is this going anywhere? How is all the men of the city not getting these children and beating the hell out of them? Beating the shit out of them. Don't you dare raise up against your mom and dad like that. What's wrong with you? You're supposed to honor your father and mother. But because we've got this religious teaching that's been forced upon us for generations from 1492 until now, this is what it means to be a man. I'm just being a man. But this is what the scripture says. Verse 12 again.
Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 12.
Yep.
And it says, as for my people, children are their oppressors.
Children oppress us. Read.
And women rule over them.
And now women have been placed over us and rule over us. Because all it takes is a call to 911. All it takes is a call to my brothers, to my cousins, to my dad, to my uncles. And nigga, you gonna learn. Nigga, you gonna submit. And you better like it. Jeremiah verse 15. How many people are locked up in jail behind this very same act? This very same thing.
Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 16. And it reads, moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion,
read,
are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks.
Because they're haughty and can't be told nothing. They think they can really get in a man's face. He better respect them. He better do what they say, or she's going to raise her voice. And tell me the black woman, the Mexican woman ain't learned that. Get in a man's face and raise your voice and get somebody over there like, is there a problem over here? Hey, dude, why don't you calm down and let the woman just, first off, you don't know what the fuck, why are you in this conversation? Because she raised her voice? Because she learned how to get loud. That's why you're over here. She didn't yell rape. She didn't yell, I don't know this man. She's just getting loud to cause a scene, to push her way. That somebody's going to come to her defense no matter what she's doing. Because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks, nose all up in the air, snooty, princess-like. Read.
And wanton eyes.
And wanton eyes. That, in the word wanton, when you look it up, it literally means whatever you see, you want. They just want everything they see. I want this purse. I want this shoe. I want this. I want that. Why don't you like this? Why don't you like that? Just. That's what means to be wanting. Read.
Walking and mincing as they go.
Swishing their ass from east to west. If you got a girl flaunted, make sure you show a lot of cleavage. Make sure you show a lot of skin. If you got a long, beautiful, then make sure them niggas can see your neck. Make sure you got the little belly, your belly button's flat. Make sure you get the little jewel, the little piercing in the belly button. And flaunt it. Read.
And making a tinkling with their feet.
A tinkling with their feet. They would have toe rings and ankle bracelets. Like, you know, like when a woman, making a sound when they would walk. Like when a woman's got high heels on. And when she walks, she makes a sound to draw attention. Read.
Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion.
That's why most black women, if it's their hair, they bought it from someone. This is why Jada Pinkett Smith is bald-headed. That's not a fashion statement. The scripture says a woman's hair is given for her, it's for her glory. But that glory is supposed to be only for her husband. That when she lets her hair down with her husband, the women ain't supposed to be sharing do-rags with the husband. They competing for who can get the most waves. No. No. All that is off. All that is wrong. But the Lord said, this is going to be the punishment. because the dollar designer are haughty, arrogant, can't be told a damn thing. That's why you can't really grow no hair. Not like an East Indian woman, especially like a white woman, or like a, you know, the Irish, the red-headed, long-haired vixen, again, for lack of a better word, the Scarlett Johansson type or whatever, that you can't, most black women don't get hair like that. Their hair won't grow like that.
Scarlett O'Hara.
Scarlett O'Hara, yeah. their hair won't really grow like that. And then among the Native American women, y'all might get the long hair, but the next part tells you what?
And the Lord will discover their secret parts.
Go ahead.
In that day.
And hold on, and the secret parts. We used to always just break that down as a smell or a stench. But which women in the world suffer most from fibroids? I dare somebody tell me that it's not black, Hispanic, Native American women. Not just the smell, the fibroids. Read.
In that day, the Lord will take. Oh, I'm sorry. We're in Isaiah chapter 3:18.
Mm-hmm.
In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls and their round tires like the moon, the chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and those jewels, the changeable suits of apparel, and the mantles, and the wimples, and the crisping pins, the glasses, and the fine linen, and the hoods, and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle of rent.
I said a girdle, a rent.
A girdle of a... Oh, I'm sorry. And instead of a girdle, a rent.
Now, a girdle is meant to hold your figure. And you look at one of the so-called like more Native American women, Mexican women, whatever. After like 1920, they go from having like an hourglass to like a coffee can. I mean. And the muffin tops, really. Who? Yeah. So you might have the Native American woman might have that long hair, but you ain't got no figure, not any age. And whereas the so-called Negro women, the black women, Judah, the Benjamin, Levi, you won't have no hair. They say black don't crack. You might hold your figure a little bit longer, but you won't have no hair. And then with the Native American women, y'all might have hair, but your figure is gone. Looking like a potato. Just shot. Again, this is going back, again, for the standards that America has put up for us as a people. It's totally upside down and backwards from how God set things up. All right. From there, let's go to, if you got anything to say, please bring it out.
Yes, sir. Pretty much. Well, as far as like the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, that, you know, the straightening of the hair, that's the crisping pins.
Mm-hmm.
Where that causes the scab. My mother, so she told me that she had long hair when she was young, but using the hot comb or the straightening comb or just the chemicals of, you know, burned out her hair. You know, using the grease, crisping pins, the changeable suits of apparel, you know, because women like to change clothes. It's what's in, it's whatever the fashion is, you know, women have to be up to date with what's going on. But instead of a girdle, which is something that does hold your figure, but also it's elegant. And a rent is,
it's torn.
Wearing rags. Yeah, it's basically you're wearing rags, basically. Instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. I mean, we could just, you know, basically go into the Mess and Gill commercials and things of that nature on that. You know, that wasn't needed. You know, vinegar and the hot water bottle, all of that stuff. Those are all results of the haughtiness, the tinkling of feet, the wanton eyes. These are punishments. Basically, this is the Most High saying that because of the attitudes and the haughty look, the proud look, the looking down at your nose, the stretched forth necks, we all know what that means, you know. You're saying things, you know, and now it's the, you know, the kids, you know, with the clap and the, you know, get in order, you know, treating the man like a dog.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much. Because of these actions, these are the curses. These are the punishments that our sisters have received throughout the generations.
So going back to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15 now.
Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. And it reads, which have forsaken the right way.
And that's what this is the point, and every, I know it's been brought out, that we have been taught to forsake the right way. The right way being God's way. We've learned how to be good Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalians, Catholics, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. We learn how to be good if you're in a fraternity, a Q, an Alpha. I'm not sure about the female fraternities and
sororities.
Sororities, what have you. You've learned how to be a good union member. You've learned how to be a good athlete. You learn how to be a good, you get your high school diploma, then you got your associates, you got your bachelor's, went on to your master's, and might even got your doctor. You learn how to do those things and be good in those areas and be good in those fields. But one thing we have not learned is how to be good God-fearing people. We have not learned how to actually, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we have not learned how to fear and to do things his way. We've not been taught that. We've forsaken the right way when it comes to God, when it comes to the God of the Bible, when it comes to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We've forsaken the right way. Go ahead.
And are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer.
Right. That we've gone, and he's comparing us to how Balaam, the son of Bozer, was led away to enslave and entrap the Israelites when we was coming out of Egypt and coming into the Promised Land. Go ahead.
Who love the wages of the unrighteous.
And at this world, we a lot of us get caught up. We love what we get. A wage is what you earn. For the work you do, you get a wage. So it's telling you that who love the wages of what I earn or what I get or what I receive for being unrighteous. What is Tyler Perry earning for portraying a black woman, put on the damn dress? That he's going to let that go for God? Hell no. You can't tell that nigga that what he's doing is not for God. Jada, how much money is Jada worth for being Will's handler? You going to really act like she's going to give that up for their house in Bel Air, wherever the hell they live at, and the lifestyle that they're afforded or given access to? And that's on an extreme wealth or what have you. A lot of us, just to be good members in your church, just to be a good member in your bowling league, that you'll forsake the right way of God before what you earn for being unrighteous. It's as simple as you love catfish. Well, God said what? If it comes from the waters, it must have fins and scales. But you're going to give up catfish for God because you love how eating catfish, how that makes you feel. You love the taste of it, love the smell of it. You love the cleaning, you love the whole fishing of it. You got people with noodlers. They will go and hunt giant catfish with bare hands and stick their hand in the mouth of the damn catfish. That's how they fish the damn fish. Bunch of rednecks. I'm sure there are people doing it too. The crawdads, the jumbo and on the dietary side. And then what about the ways of unrighteousness for some as unrighteous as Easter? Something as unrighteous as Christmas. Something as unrighteous as birthdays.
Even the Thanksgiving, which is rooted off of a massacre.
Bring it up.
In which I'm sure there were pregnant
yes.
women in the massacre as we just got, well, not just got done, but we went over what happens when you cause a woman to lose her fruit, to lose her child.
Yeah.
Through the all of the raids and the massacres, they were cutting out unborn babies and feeding them to their dogs.
Yeah.
You.
The wages of unrighteousness. You could be a slut. You could be a hoe. And all it takes is to go to a doctor, take the pill, or have an abortion. And now you don't have to be responsible for being a slut or a hoe, a harlot. You can just go have the baby sucked out of you. And that's the payback. That's what you've now earned. You can now be unrighteous and hide the fact that you're unrighteous. Because as long as you're a black woman, put a wig on, go get some breast implants, some your lips done, wear them long-ass eyelashes right now, put on some makeup to cover how ugly you really are, that's acceptable.
Lil Nas, being Elton John's protege. Protege?
For real.
He's being paid millions just to appear gay.
Loving the wages of unrighteousness. That for being unright with God, look at what you're able to have access to. From the freedom of choice to, again, all the good Lord. Legalizing of weed all over the place. It's not even weed no more. Of all these smoke shops. That the high that you can now be as high as you want to be. Have your mind dizzy as you want to be. But the only thing, and that's the wage you get from being unrighteous. That's what you've earned for being not right with the God of the Bible. What you think is liberty. What you think is freedom. But let's keep reading. Verse 16.
2 Peter, the second chapter in verse 16. But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet.
So a prophet was rebuked by a dumbass. Again, just trying to keep it in context with the class and everything, that what you've been taught, what we've been held down to, or with the cuss words, the swear words, or wrong, no, dumbass. Let a little brother call his other brother a dumbass. All of a sudden, that, don't you say, that was, oh, he'll be chastised for saying something like that. Give me what's that, Galatians 4:26, I think it is. Am I becoming enemy? Is it 4:26 or 4:16?
Am I there?
Yep, that's it.
Galatians chapter 4, verse 16.
Read.
Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
The reason I'm reading this right now, let a child or kid call another kid a dumbass. He'll be chastised for that. But then, the reason a kid should be chastised for that, we are supposed to speak encouraging words to one another. And I'm not taking that away. But the fact that there'd be so much chastisement on that he used the word dumbass when it's actually in the Bible. And if you look up dumbass, all it means is somebody who's an idiot, somebody who's stupid.
Donkey.
Yeah.
Shrek.
Yeah, Shrek. You're dumbass. You're stupid. You're an idiot.
It's not a coincidence that it was Eddie Murphy.
That it happened to be Eddie Murphy. Tom Hanks' character, Forrest Gump, was a dumbass. Stupid is and stupid does. If you do stupid things, you're a dumbass. You're an idiot. That was stupid. Okay? That terminology can be used. If somebody does something stupid, does something idiotic, like same-sex marriage, like a man putting on a dress, like a woman having multiple partners, you're a dumbass. That's stupid. That's unrighteous. You dress like a harlot, you dress like a hoe, you dress like a whore, and then wonder why. And to get people's to get men's attention, you get it. And now all of a sudden, why are you just so concerned with my body and not my mind? Dumbass bitch. You're trying to get men so you can have a lot of sex. We're gonna just put it on the line. Now the scripture here we just read, Galatians chapter 4 verse 16 tells us, "Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" That's in the Bible. But you know, we was taught, going back all the way back to 1492 up until present, we were taught, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
Whether it's the truth or not.
Whether it's the truth or not. So to say, to call a woman a harlot, a bitch, to call the white man, to say goddamn white people, that you're the devil that the Bible speaks of, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. But yet, it might become, the scripture says, it might become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Now, these are the same people who taught us religion, who taught us English. They could read. You tell them that you never read, and might never become your enemy because I tell you the truth. But you're going to make sure I don't say goddamn. You're going to make sure I don't curse you. You're going to make sure that I don't pray to God for your downfall. You're going to emphasize that the four-letter words, that's swearing, and that's cursing, and that's wrong and off. But as you had our women from 1492 raping them, killing the babies, the genocides, the infanticides, the forcing of our kids and children to be alligator bait down there in the South, that now you talk about this critical race theory, whatever, that we're not supposed to criticize your race. Again, it's just this whole thing of what? If you got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. you're not going to praise white people, if you're not going to uplift white people, then don't you say nothing. Don't tell the truth about what they've done. And that's wrong. Again, if you choose to eat pork, when God said don't not to, you're a dumbass. You're stupid. You're an idiot. Let's get that real quick. Sardis. It's Jeremiah. Sardis. Sardis. Sardis children. I got it. Yeah, in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22, this will be our last scripture for today. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22.
Yeah, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 2.
Verse 22.
Okay. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 22. And it reads, for my people is foolish. They have not known me.
And again, if this ain't, this is definitely talking about our people. For God says his people are foolish and that we have not known God. Again, you need to be a good Baptist, Methodist, Episcopal. You need to be a good American citizen. You need to go into court and quote the Constitution and amendments and statutes all day long and be able to back the cops up off of you, to back judges up off of you. Got that on lock. You know how you're a master mechanic, you're a master electrician, you're master thief. That we get all those things under our belts, but we don't know the God of the Bible. We don't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have not known God. Read.
For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children.
They are sottish children. Read.
And they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil. But to do good, they have no knowledge.
We are wise to do evil. But to do good, it says we have no knowledge. We have not been taught to do good. Especially with the four-letter words are cuss words or curse words. Or that's taking the name of the Lord God in vain. It's not. Father's Day is in vain. That's sottish. That's stupid. That's evil. Mother's Day. Grandpa, Secretary's Day. All them things is against God. Had nothing to do with God. But now, especially amongst our people, let our people not partake in those things. And what type of label is going to place upon you for not honoring Mother's Day, Father, Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Kwanzaa,
Independence Day,
not celebrating the independence of America from Britain. So, I'm gonna look at the word sottish, and we're gonna end this episode.
One more scripture.
Yeah, come on.
So it's in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3.
Read it and break it down.
Oh, actually, we'll start at 2. It says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth." So this is something for everybody to listen to. This should remind you of when you did something stupid in front of everybody, how you got punished, embarrassed in front of everyone. "For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." So how the Most High brought us up, he brought us up with the law, statutes, and commandments. But this whole class pretty much has been about how we rebelled, how we didn't want the law, statutes, and commandments, how we wanted to behave like asses, dumbasses. So 3, it says, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib." So now the Most High is comparing us to oxes and asses.
Dumbasses.
Yeah, dumbasses. Being compared to pretty much beasts that are oxes and asses. They don't do anything but, you know, hard labor, basically, and that's it. Very stubborn, in which I believe that's why because we're so stubborn and we do dumb things. We just sit and accept whatever is given to us, except from when it comes from the Most High. So it says, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people does not consider." We don't even consider it. If when these scriptures are being brought up, most of the time when we're teaching our people, they don't want to hear. They don't consider. They don't consider the Heavenly Father. They'll consider, like Mashaba was bringing up, of all the laws in the penal system. You know, all the sections and you know, the Billingsworth versus Collinsfield, but you don't know the law to not eat pork, to not get a tattoo. But you know, that's all I have to say on it. You know, just
beautiful. So this is the definition for sadist from the Webster's 1828 dictionary. To be sadist is to be dull, stupid, senseless, doltish, very foolish. How ignorant are sadist pretenders to astrology? Dull with intemperance, stupefied. So this is what God is saying about his people, us. That when it comes to knowing what's right and what's wrong, that understanding true morals, we really don't. We really don't. But this is the purpose. The purpose of our classes is not just to beat us down, whatever. The purpose of our classes is now to shed light and now give our people an opportunity, give them the choice, since it's all about choices, right? To give them the choice to now that you have a chance to learn proper righteousness, proper morals in the eyes of God, are you going to be willing to learn, or are you rebellious? Are you the dumb ass, the dumb ox that Gabar just read about in Isaiah, the first chapter? Now that you have a choice, because you've been taught wrong, your parents taught us wrong, their parents taught them wrong, and their parents taught them wrong, going all the way back to 1492 when the white man first got to the Americas and established all these institutions and all these laws and all this culture for our people. We've been taught totally wrong. But now you're given a real choice. As much as you want to argue about the choice of abortion, freedom of choice, now you have a choice. You want to continue to follow lies or follow the truth?
You know what? With Tupac, remember what he said in Keep Your Head Up? A woman has, you know, and since a man can't make one, she has the right to create.
He has no right to tell her how to.
Where to create and who to create with.
Right.
You know, the choice. It's her choice because, you know, she has to go through the labor and all that. And I'm not taking away from that. But that doesn't give you the choice. The Most High is the one that gives us the blessings of children.
So what choice now are we going to make? We've been taught lies. Our parents were taught lies. Our grandparents were taught lies. But now we're being faced with the actual truth, the Word of God. Are we going to choose darkness and lies, or are we going to choose to come to the light? Especially as it's about time for Christ to make his return back in the earth. So with that, tonight, for those that are listening, today is Thursday, April 14th. Tonight at sunset actually begins Passover. Tonight at sunset actually begins Passover. I'll get back to that. And we are still honoring or celebrating tonight. Again, tonight is the actual Passover. I'm sorry. I'm just looking for the address for the Passover in Houston. Got it. So tonight is the actual official Passover. If you understand the calendar that we're going under with the Masorah Yasha Allah. Tonight at sunset begins the actual Passover. You want to make sure at sunset tonight, you want to get all leaven out of your house. And you're supposed to have a Passover meal if you can. But that actually starts tonight. Now, this Sunday, we are having a dinner or actual convocation, an actual gathering together this Sunday in Houston, starting at 5 o'clock, 5 p.m., at 5475 West Sam Houston Parkway in North Houston, Texas, area code 77041. Again, that's 5475 West Sam Houston Parkway in North Houston, Texas, at 77041. If you don't observe tonight, you still observe Passover starting this Sunday. All right, where maybe you don't have the lamb, maybe you don't have the bitter herbs or what have you. It's not a problem. We're going to have all those things this Sunday. What you can do, though, is tonight, keep tonight separate, keep tonight holy. Don't have any sexual relations tonight. If you choose to observe tonight being the beginning of Passover. If you look across the Hebrew Israelite community, because there's still a lot of things that we know in part, so we prophesy in part. We know there's a Passover, but the actual calendar of when the actual new moon begins, that is never stated in the scriptures about when the actual new moon is. Is it when it's the full moon, or is it when it's dark and there's nothing there, or is it when the first sliver of the moon first appears on the horizon? There's controversy among many Israelite groups about that. So instead of getting into the technicality of which day is the actual Passover, the scripture says, Don't let no man judge you in respect of any high holiday or any Sabbath. meaning it allows you to observe something, and you understand it's about coming together, gathering together with whatever community you might associate with. Cool. We're offering, says we're trying to unite with the brothers from Mashallah Yashallah, the families from Mashallah Yashallah, and the calendar that they put out, that today is tonight is Sunset Solstice Passover. Now, I know some organizations like IUIC, I believe they already had their Passover. GMS already had their Passover. Sakari already had their Passover. ISUBK is having it this weekend, I believe it's coming up, along with GOCC, I believe. So it's not we don't get caught up into the technicality of, you better be with us, you're not with us, you're not on the Passover. That goes against what the scripture says about judge no man in respect of a high holy day. We're just offering an opportunity, if you would like to join us tonight and honor the Passover at home, you might do it. And some people ain't doing it, so don't worry about it. I know we ain't got no monster practice here, and we ain't getting enough money for land either, so we got that going on. But we also know that coming this Sunday, it's going to be a feast. Like it says in Leviticus 23, it's going to be a convocation. It's going to be an actual feast. So with that, don't forget to hit up the brothers, support Israelite businesses, black businesses, as far as Eastern Oils, Rolling Oil Small, as far as Peaceful Solutions in Houston, Norfolk, and also Rochester. And you can hit them up online if you'd like to make an online order. And then also at Rolling Oil Small over by
H&M.
Over by H&M.
And it's right across from, around the corner from Sears. It's H&M and the cookie, right across from the cookie cart or whatever that's
the called. The Great American Cookie?
Yeah, the Great American Cookie. Catty corner to the jewelry place over there.
Okay.
We're opening. Today is the opening day of the cart over there for holistic oils and also Baskin fragrances and also incense, bath bombs, soap, men's soap, natural holistic herbs, and I was told also that we actually have a holistic doctor that's going to be there to answer some, any questions that you might have about the healthy benefits of holistic medicine.
Cool. And the name of it is Pure Therapy, what's the name of it?
It's EO Pure Therapy.
EO?
Yeah, it's an extension of the store EO Pure Therapy.
All right, so again, we have that going on. Support these businesses. And with that, my name is Machado. And we would like to say shalom. Shalom.